Well, for unto us a child is born. It may not be as common a phrase for us to say this year, this time of year, as Merry Christmas or Jesus is the reason for the season, but we certainly hear it. If not in pieces like Handel's Messiah, we hear it echoed in the words of the angel, "For to you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord." Handel actually wrote this music way back in 1741. And that makes this music older than Away in a Manger or A Little Town of Bethlehem or Silent Night, or way older than Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer or Last Christmas or Grandma Got Run Over by a Reindeer. It's one of those classic pieces of Christian music. It was written, or at least it was first performed at a benefit concert in Dublin, Ireland. And the concert was to raise money for the medical bills of poor people so they could get free medical care. And then the other half of the money was to set people free from debtor's prison. They were imprisoned because of their debt. And so they had this concert to raise this money. And people were so excited about hearing the Messiah that they had to tell people, "Gentlemen, you need to leave your swords at home, and women, you need to leave your hoops out of your skirts so we can fit more people in." And I can see you've all got the message, because none of you brought your swords or your hoops. It was a tremendous success. They raised enough money there to free 142 people from prison. It was a wonderful piece, and it became a part of music history. Really, up to this day, we continue to share the Messiah. But you know, Handel didn't actually write the words. The words were collected by somebody named Charles Jennens. And he brought together a bunch of scripture, because that's what the words are, they're scripture. And he brought together this collection of scripture verses because he wanted Handel to write music that would share this message of these scripture verses. And the message is the glory of the Messiah and how God has come into our world. You see, at the time, there was the rise of a movement called deists who believed that once God created the world, it was all hands off. That God created the world and said, "Okay, world, you're on your own now." And the scripture verses were collected to say, no, God did not leave us on our own, but God has come to us. So he asked Handel to put music to those scriptures, and in one of those scriptures was this very familiar Christmas prophecy from Isaiah chapter 9. "Nevertheless, there'll be no more gloom for those who are in distress. In the past, he humbled the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, but in the future, he will honor Galilee of the nations by the way of the sea beyond the Jordan. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of deep darkness, the light has dawned. You have enlarged the nation and increased their joy. They rejoice before you as people rejoice at the harvest, as warriors rejoice when dividing the plunder. For as in the day of Midian's defeat, you have shattered the yoke that burdens them, a bar across their shoulders, the rod of their oppressor. Every warrior's boot used in battle and every garment rolled in blood will be destined for burning, will be fuel for the fire. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he'll be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the greatness of his government and peace there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing it and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this." A child will be given to us. A child who will be called Wonderful Counselor, Almighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And there will be another to sit on the throne of David. If you remember last Sunday, we talked about how David's family tree was cut down. There was no one sitting on the throne of David. And yet God had promised that a sprout, a shoot, would come up from that old stump and the tree would grow again. And here we find out that that shoot is a child, is the Messiah. And it's all really quite fascinating if you are interested in Old Testament study or you are into old music. But what if we actually believed, for unto us a child is born, that it's unto us, that it's the gift for us? Not just for Mary and for Joseph and for shepherds and wise men, but unto us. What if we believed that this child, this Jesus, was a personal gift to us? Now, I don't know how you give gifts, and when you do your unwrapping and all of that. Some families are Christmas Eve gift unwrappers. Some are Christmas Day gift unwrappers, and with our crazy schedules, some of us are the week before and the week of and then the week after. And we also unwrap them in different ways. In some families, people take turns. And everybody watches as one gift is unwrapped after another, and everybody oohs and ahs over it, and they go to the next one. In other families, it's ready, set, go, and then you dive in, and everybody finds their gifts. In our family, back when the kids were little, and we were gathering with all the cousins and all, usually went like this. There'd be a young child there who would be asked to pass out the presents. And the child would not be able to read yet, so there'd be an adult there by the Christmas tree. And the child would be invited up, who would be so excited, eyes all aglow, running towards that pile of presents. And they would grab a present, and the adult would say, Kevin, give this to Uncle Kevin. Yeah, give it to Uncle Kevin. No, sweetie, it's not for you. It's for Uncle Kevin. And reluctantly, the child would go and give the gift to Uncle Kevin, come back to the tree, grab another present, and it'd be somebody else's name. And so it'd go, and it wouldn't take very long before they were no longer excited about this gift-giving stuff. Because it seemed like every gift was for someone else. But then finally they would come upon a gift for themselves. And the adult would say, oh, this is for you. This is your gift. You go ahead, you can open it. Because it would take them a little while to grasp that there was finally one for them. But when they did, they would tear into that wrapping paper and you can forget about any other packages being passed out. Because once they found the gift for them, nothing else matters. They were just wrapped up in the gift. So, same way with us. When we find a gift that really matters, when we find a gift that's really for us, nothing else matters but the gift. And sometimes it takes us a while. It takes us a while to actually get through to us that the gift is for us, that we can unwrap the gift of the Christ child, because it's given to us. But it takes a little convincing sometimes. Or sometimes it takes someone who knows the story to tell us. To tell us that, no, it's true, this child is your Savior. It's a gift for you. A week or so ago at Morning Mug's Christmas brunch, I shared the story of one of the first songs, Christmas songs, written in North America. And it was written 100 years before Handel's Messiah. That's how old it is. Early 1600s. And it was written by a French Catholic missionary, Father Jean de Brébeuf. And he was ministering to the Huron Native Americans. And how do you tell people the Christmas story?
when they don't know anything about what it's talking about. So how do you tell people about Bethlehem when they have no idea that there is a Bethlehem? How do you tell them about magi and shepherds when they've never seen a shepherd? When they bring gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh and they don't have a clue, how do you share with them that for unto us, me and you, a child is born? And so Father de Brébeuf did it through a song. He wrote a Christmas carol. And he wrote it in the Huron language. And not only did he write it in the Huron language, but he put images that the Hurons would understand. So for God, he puts Gitche Manitou, or Great God, like Gitche Gumee, the Great Lake Superior. God is Gitche Manitou. And instead of a stable, there was a lodge of bark, something they would understand. And instead of a visit from magi bringing gold and frankincense and myrrh, it was a visit from chiefs who were bringing gifts of fox and beaver pelts, the kind of things that they would understand as a great gift. He put that in the language and the culture of the Hurons so he could share the good news with them that for unto us a child is born. So here's the English translation of that, because I don't speak Huron. And this is actually a song that is in the Old Methodist Hymnal, but didn't get sung very much, even though it goes so far back. And I'm going to share it with you, but I want you to especially note the fourth verse, because the fourth verse is where he brings it all home, what the message is about. It's called, 'Twas in the Moon of Wintertime. Was in the moon of winter time, when all the birds had fled, that mighty Gitche Manitou sent angel choirs instead. Before their light the stars grew dim, and wandering hunters heard the hymn, Jesus your King is born, Jesus is born in excelsis gloria. Within a lodge of broken bark, the tender babe was found. A ragged robe of rabbit skin enwrapped his beauty round. But as the hunter brazed drew nigh, the angel's song rang loud and high. Jesus, your King is born. Jesus is born in excelsis gloria. The earliest moon of winter time is not so round and fair as was the ring of glory on the helpless infant there. The chiefs from far before him knelt with gifts of fox and beaver pelt. Jesus, your King is born. Jesus is born in excelsis gloria. Now that fourth verse. O children of the forest free, O seed of Manitou, the holy child of earth and heaven is born today for you. Come kneel before the radiant boy which brings you beauty, peace, and joy. Jesus, your King is born. Jesus is born in excelsis gloria. put the story in a way they could understand. And he says, the child of earth and heaven is born today for you. Come kneel before the radiant boy who brings you beauty, peace, and joy. To the Hurons, to us. Last week, I issued a challenge. And the challenge was to do something that you hadn't done since you were a little kid. And I don't know if you found something to do, but maybe as you were thinking about it at least, you remembered as a kid and receiving a gift, something that was very special to you. And maybe it was at Christmas, or maybe it was some other time, but a gift that was just right, a gift that you wanted and needed. I was thinking back of a gift that I received. It's one of my favorite gifts that I've gotten. And it's this little block of wood. May not seem like much, and I didn't get this block as a child. I actually got it as the father of a child. I got it at a time when I was feeling a bit down, discouraged, because life had become so busy and there was so much going on at the church, and I found myself being torn away at all times of the day to deal with things at the church. And I began to wonder if my kids were going to resent the church and resent God because it so often took their dad away. And a Sunday school teacher came in one day and said, I have something for you. Today in Sunday school, we asked the students to write down what they were thankful for on these blocks because we were going to build a wall of thankfulness. And this is what your son wrote. And I looked on it, and it says that he's thankful for making my dad a pastor. It was just what I needed at just the right time. It's a gift that meant so much to me that I've kept it all these years, even though it's just a block of wood with crayon or marker on it. But you know, all of us have been given a gift like that, a gift that's just what we need. And it's not a gift that we keep in an office, but it's a gift that goes with us. It's the gift of Jesus Christ. And it's just what we need. It's just what we need when we have questions and we're struggling, we don't know what to do, like Joseph. For unto us a child is born. And when we are worried about injustice in the world, like Mary was, for unto us a child is born. And when we're sitting in jobs that seem to be dead-end jobs, and we wonder, what are we doing here, like those shepherds sitting out in the hill watching sheep sleep. For unto us a child is born. And when we're searching, when we're searching for a king, when we're searching for a guiding principle, something that will forever change our lives, like the wise men, for unto us a child is born. And when we need a Savior, like the angels sang about, for unto us a child is born. For unto us a child is born. Unto us a son is given. Not just to people long ago, not just to the people in the Bible, but to me and to you. Unto us a child is born. So I've got a challenge for you this week. Surprise, surprise. Here's this week's challenge. Open the gift of Jesus. It's for you. It has your name on it. Accept Jesus as your Savior, as your Lord, as your friend, as your gift. If you've never done it before, then it's so simple. Just pray, Jesus, I accept the gift of you. I need you. Come in and be my Savior. If you've never accepted the gift of Christ, do so today. But if you have, and I'm sure that that most of you have.
If you have, then your challenge is this:
to find someone with whom you can share the gift of the Christ child. Because it's a gift for them too. For unto us. For unto all of us. And it may be tricky. You may have to find a way to interpret it, to put it into the language that they can understand instead of the language that we can understand. But like Father de Brébeuf, you can let someone know there's a gift waiting for them this year. Let them know that there's the gift of life, that there's a wonderful counselor, an everlasting Father, an almighty God, a Prince, a peace for them. Let them know that to them is born a Savior who is Christ the Lord. For unto us a child is born, to us a son is given. Oh, what if we really lived that out? And what if we shared it with someone else? Let's pray. Well, Jesus, we can hardly believe it that you would give yourself to us. That the King of the universe, Almighty God, the everlasting, that you would come to us. Not just to other people, but to us too. Thank you for the gift of yourself, and help us find a way that we can share that gift with someone else. Like Father de Brébeuf, help us to be able to put your good news into a language that others can understand, so they too can celebrate with us. Lord, this Christmas, may we realize that you are the gift, and it's for all of us.